has come again. The champion must stand. It can only be one of us. Victoria. So stand up and not my friend. There's a title you must defend. Shut it on and on. Bring it to me. Defend your move.
Oh, that's right, everybody. It's the DYM podcast. Welcome to another episode. My name is the Cool Breeze, Andrew Fiore. With me, as always, is my pal, my friend, my amigo, Sean Donnelly, everybody. How you doing, Shawnee?
How are you doing, DYM Nation? It's so great to be here. I'm about four espressos in for the day, so I'm raring to go, my friends, raring to go.
I am looking at the screen right now going, I look sickly pale. And I don't know if that's a ring light. I boxed this morning and it kicked my ass, and I think it drains my life juices.
No, it's a ruddy complexion because you're sweating, so that's probably what happened.
Yeah, it was 7 hours ago, but sure, let's go with that theory.
How is boxing going? Have you kicked any ass yet? What are you doing there?
It's great. I just one-on-one. I am nowhere near ready to even look at another opponent. Training right now.
I was making a joke. I was joking. Yeah. I would not want you to get murdered in the ring.
Right.
Yeah. I think that, Andy, I got to be honest with you. And it's nothing against you. That takes like years for that shit. Like, well, at least a year. Like, yeah.
How long have you been doing it? I don't know, 4 weeks. And I think, like, I got my first title bout coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, how's it going? He's like, I'm not Golden Gloves ready yet. It's like, yeah, we know. We definitely know. But it's
my first title bout coming up. I got Mike Tyson's punch out queued up for this afternoon.
I'm fighting Piston Honda for the title. Andy, let me ask you this, Andy. Let's do it in that. On a scale of Mike Tyson's punch out, who would you get past?
I couldn't even look at Glass Joe. I couldn't even look at his trainer at this point.
You couldn't
Mickey
even
would
have
beat the
guy
shit out of me right now.
You couldn't even have the guy like Glass Joe that goes meh, 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 and just shows you his jaw, just points to his jaw. Meh, 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 and you'd be like, I don't know where to hit him. I have no idea where to hit him.
I could maybe fight Little Yeti Seinfeld, the chicken, and feel good about myself.
Little Yeti is somewhere.
Little
around
Yeti,
here,
you're making a big mistake, Big Yeti.
You could peck the shit at a Little Yeti.
Yeah, yeah. I love when Kramer goes, hey, I'm just going to warm up some hot water here and give Little Jerry a bath. And Jerry just goes, Kramer, be careful. Cook the chicken. Be careful. But I'm feeling good. It is a great workout. And it's funny. I was telling you on the phone earlier, it goes back to that Simpsons thing where you go, the minute I leave boxing is the happiest I am because it's the longest possible time before I have to box again.
I have the same workout mentality where it's like, oh, okay, this is it. All right, good. I have 23 and a half hours.
Yeah. No, full seven.
Oh, it was seven.
And whatever, 23 hour days.
You're doing it once a week, right?
Yeah, just once a week. And I had to take last week off because I was traveling and I was busy. And so anytime you just dip out of your rhythm, it's basically like starting at square one again, you know.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
Sore again, because like I did a bunch of weeks in a row. By like the third week, you're starting to feel good about yourself, you're starting to get into that rhythm, and you're actually starting to like not be crazy sore the next day. And then you take 1 week off, it's back to basics here.
It's so funny. You do it with Sergio Chacon, who is a really funny comic that we know, and a really good guy. He has a podcast called, like, I think Dirtbag Shit or a Dirtbag Pod. Shit. But the funniest part, he always talks in his act about dirtbag shit. He's like the sweetest man. Like, he's a good dad. Like, he's not a dirtbag. Not even close to a dirtbag.
Great guy. Snake owner. He's like one of those weird exotic pet owners.
I had snakes when I was a kid. I think I've mentioned that in the podcast.
Really? I
had garter snakes. I was 12. It wasn't boa.
In your backyard?
No. I mean, like, and we had them in, and one of them, I told you, my dad's friend, I think I mentioned this to you once, maybe not on the show. My dad's friend brought back one from the woods, and it had babies.
Really?
So it had little tiny snake babies inside captivity, and most of them died. Like, I think some of them, I think the other snakes would, I think Herman, which was the snake's name, would eat, I think, some of them.
Name.
Yeah. Yeah, Herman the snake. Yeah.
I like that.
But I was into all that stuff, and now I wouldn't even want to go near snakes. But
really?
As a kid, I loved, like, lizards and snakes. I went to Gatorland Zoo in Florida. My sister wanted to go to the Kennedy Space Center, but for some reason, my parents took us to Gatorland Zoo for me. So there's a picture of me holding an alligator with its mouth taped shut, like a baby alligator, and my sister with a boa constrictor around her looking miserable. Just miserable.
This is so funny that we organically talked about this because of one of the movies I watched last night. And I know it's early to get into it. But
well, no, bring it up now because that's perfect segue.
I watched Crawl last night.
I don't even know what Crawl is.
Crawl. I know my accent.
Yeah.
See, like Gator Crawl.
Oh, what is it? Crawl?
It came out like 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago. Yeah, it's like a gator horror movie, basically. A young woman, she's a swimmer. It opens up on the college, the University of Florida Gators. she's in a big swim meet. She's a college swimmer, and she loses, and she gets a call from her older sisters. Hey, I can't get a hold of dad. If you looked at the weather report, they're in Florida, Gainesville. Hurricane's coming in. Nobody can find dad. So she drives down to basically the eye of the hurricane. And her father's passed out in the basement. And I mean, within 8 minutes, there's a gator attack.
Yes.
It's nonstop gator from about minute seven.
They knew their audience immediately.
Yeah, dude. And I watched another movie last night. I was going to couple these together.
Wait,
but
so you're not, just, you wait, don't move on. How
I won't,
was
I won't,
what,
I won't.
How was it? What was the?
Not great.
Maybe that's why I never heard of it.
Well, here's the thing. Every month, it was June 1st yesterday. So I like to do movies that are now streaming. Usually they update it at the first of the month. I go new. I do a Google search, new movies now streaming on all the apps.
Right.
And I got a few that I seemed interested in. And one was Crawl. And I keep sounding, I hear it as Crawl to me.
And there is a movie called like Crawl the Conqueror or something, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah. I'm reading the little review, and this guy's loving it. He's going nonstop action, fast-paced. You're going to love it. I go, that sounds right up my alley on a Wednesday afternoon. I got nothing to do, no spots. Let me just watch this kind of popcorn-y flick.
Right.
Sounds perfect, you know?
Yeah.
And it was that. It was nonstop action, but boy, was the fucking plot just
terrible.
Stupid.
Was there any great croc-related lines? Was there any, like... Even that, you can almost save it that way by having some really bad, like right before it gets killed, see you later, alligator, or something. No, I think that's ever happened. That is great.
Back, she goes, in a while, crocodile. as her dad's dying. Well, that was the whole kind of plot. I'm not giving anything away. No, but don't. It's not a recommendation by any means.
No.
So Barry Pepper plays her father. Who?
Oh, Barry Pepper, dude. We just spoke about him because of Knock Around Guys. Man, Barry Pepper, he's great. Barry Pepper, but
he just hasn't had that career you thought he was going to.
Yeah, no, not at all. I feel bad. Good actor.
So she finds him in the basement. He was down there trying to board up the house, you know, for the hurricane or something. And one of the crocs got in through croc alligators or whatever.
Interdimensional portal.
However, Florida does Florida down there.
Yeah, right.
And so he's been injured. She finally wakes him up, passes him out. She's dragging him along. What?
Got into an anti-vaxxer flag that was just covering one of the opening. Got into like we don't wear masks poster that was just covering up one of the doorways.
So basically, the whole movie is them in the basement trying to escape this infestation of alligators in their home. And the waters are now rising. They're either going to drown or they're going to get eaten by these gators. But she can use her swimming prowess to escape these. To be honest, Shawnee, I was looking at my phone a lot about 45 minutes in going,
yeah,
I'm in too deep now, but I just got to finish it.
And that's one of those movies that could have been really fun if they, it's almost like if they did it like B movie enough, like, you know, like that, It could have been really, really fun. Like,
yeah, they tried to make a B movie an A movie. And the one thing you are talking about is there would be these flashback scenes to when she was this little kid in swim meets and her father would be cheering her along and he'd go, "What are you?" And she would go, "I'm an apex predator." He's like, "That's right. You're an apex predator."
Oh, God. Oh, God. They should have just been like, "What?" They should have had a flashback where she's swimming and he goes, "One day you're going to outswim alligators." Like, just right. Like, just be super foreshadowing. Be like, "One day you'll probably save us from alligators." Like, just say what the plot is.
So kind of funny. We were talking about lizards and gators and creepy crawlies at the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly what I did with my life last night.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I never minded snakes when I was a kid. Spiders were mine.
I loved them. Ugh. Yeah.
Still not a spider guy, but snakes don't really bother me.
Snakes, it wouldn't bother me. I just wouldn't be as like, "Hey, I want to wear this snake around my neck or something." I'm not, just not that guy.
I don't picture you being that guy walking around the West Village.
No, but when I was a kid, I was like, I get my hands on any snakes or lizards or anything. Like, I was like that. Like 12.
We've all seen that guy quickly walking around the cellar with that big yellow and white polka like dot stripe
python
snake, whatever that is.
I think it's a python.
I've touched it. He'll go, "Yeah, touch it." I run up, I touch it, I go, "Hee hee," and then I run away.
Like Homer. Here, puff. Yeah, yeah. I had a good weekend. The end of the weekend, I should say, because Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, went to the old Rockaways.
Oh boy, Rockaway Beach.
They should have, they had crummy weather, but it did clear up enough to have like a good couple days.
What a shitty Memorial Day.
We got there and it was like we were in Crack the movie. Like it was rain, it was pouring, and it was just, we were like, "Why? What are we doing?" Like it was like almost, we looked like we didn't look at the weather report and showed up for like Memorial Day weekend. We went to a bar. They're like, "What are you going back to the ferry?" We're like, "No, we just got here. We just got here like 10 minutes ago." And wow, somebody should have prepared me for how much Donnelly would fit in the Rockaways.
Really?
It is. Talk about your Irish Riviera. Holy shit. I look like everybody's relative from the ride. It's insane. Like I met a super fan of the podcast and of my comedy when I walked into we got there from the ferry and we walked to this bar and this guy was loaded and he goes, "Dude," once he heard me talk, he goes, "Oh, are you a comedian?" And he knew exactly where I was. He knew about our podcast.
Oh,
he listened to all the episodes. He was it was a really, really nice guy. And I was like, "Oh yeah, this makes sense. Cause this is just every person is me in this town." Like it's like that kind of thing. So it's so fun. Everything's so Irish. And then I was talking to Megan and I was like, "Isn't it weird that Irish people settled a beach town? They're Irish. Like, yes, it's like we're not supposed to go near the beach." But
you are
it was really fun.
People.
It was really, really fun. Nice. I actually love, there's a misnomer amongst my family. My sisters think I hate the beach. I don't hate the beach. I actually like the beach, but because I am a fair-skinned boy, I cannot go for that long. So I never want to ruin anybody's time. So if I go, I have to like meet you there and then leave after a couple hours. Like I never can go for like 6 hours. So this situation worked out perfectly because we had a house down the block from the beach. We only went for a couple hours a day. Like it was like that kind of, and it was also kind of hazy, so it was good. So the whole trip was like really relaxed. I loved it. We're going back. Yeah. We're definitely going back.
That's how I like to do it. You have a place you have a residence near you, so I can do my white man thing of just going, "I'm going to go for an hour, take a dip, maybe even less than that. And I can run back home, sit in the air conditioning." I can't by nature, by what God has given me physically,
same here,
sit there for 5 hours. I just can't do it.
And absolutely.
Or do I want to, but I love swimming in the ocean.
Same here.
I love I'm building sandcastles. You bury me if you want to. Dude, I love that, but I can't do it.
I feel like I was 8 years old the minute I got there because I started walking up and down the beach looking for shells. I was
I'm all over it.
It's awesome. It's so good. So anyway, went there.
As a metal detector guy.
I do have that look. I look like a retired metal detector guy. Went from there to a little further out in the old Long Island, Nassau County area to go to my nephew's Little League game.
What a weekend.
And I got to tell you, man, it is. I was telling you right before we started, so much more fun to watch a Little League game than it is to watch a regular baseball game.
Now, let me ask you this. Were you drinking? Were you gambling?
No, no. It's not Goodwill Hunting, Andy. It's not us in the stands.
That's what I pictured.
No. We were just hanging out for like, it was like an hour and a half game. These kids are so funny. None of them, they'll only pay attention to the people playing the game like 5 minutes throughout the game. The rest of the time they're playing and chasing each other with bats and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then anytime a close, first off, there's always two kids on the team that are like amazing, that are going to be like right? And so there was these two twins on this team, and these kids were like the serious, like they're the ones that were like freak out. There's like a close play. One of them, like the guy looked safe, but he was out, and they go, he's out. And they go, what? And they're almost like pulling a Billy Martin. They're almost like kicking dirt on the umps and stuff.
Yeah.
They're all like 8 years old. It was awesome. It was awesome, because you're watching it for a while and they do like little kid pitch where the kids are pitching, but then if it goes too long, the coaches pitch. And
the coaches just pitch out of impatience.
Yes, that's pretty much what's going on. And I feel bad. I knew what the other team's coach. I went to high school with him, and he lived on my block growing up.
Hilarious.
So we're kind of like heckling him as he hit one of the kids in the arm with the soft, it's like a soft baseball. And he hit one of the kids in the arm. I'm like, geez, you're headhunting. What are you doing?
He's plunking kids?
He's plunking kids. Yeah. And he's like, take your base.
I would charge the mound.
So anyway, it was just really, really fun. And it's like one of those things that made me realize, like, I never do anything like that. Like my nephew didn't live here for a while, so I didn't have an opportunity. So now that he's here, I get to go to these things, and it was awesome. Like, it was so much fun. And
it was so much fun. Realize everything can't be a home run.
Yeah.
That's what I keep telling him.
So that was like my exciting weekend. Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah.
I know you know, but I don't know. It seemed like a non sequitur, even in a movie reference way.
So
it was a very deep cut.
It was very deep cut. It was super deep.
That's why I felt the need to.
He goes, that's when he's the other coach is the cop, and they're on.
It turned out to be a Las Vegas Metro cop.
So anyway, but while we were away, one of the things I watched that I'll go into since you gave us Croc is I finally started watching.
Crawl. There is a movie named Croc. There is a movie named Gator, and there is a movie named Crawl. Remember, Gator is like the follow up to it was Burt Reynolds' Gator.
Yes, I do remember Gator.
Burt Reynolds in a fan boat. What more do you need? There's your movie pitch right there.
Oh my God! That's
green
all
light
need.
It.
Yeah, just Smokey and the Bandit, but with crocodiles and Everglades. Anyway, so but one of the things I watched, and I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's one of these movies I've really had very, very little interest in seeing. Kind of fits in what we were talking about last time, where the ones you put off, and that's probably one of the ones that for a while I was like, hey, I have to check this out at some point. But then
I guess?
You'll never guess it. You'll never guess
it. Not even if you give me hints.
I'll give you a hint. It's a I'll give you a pretty decent hint. It's a romantic comedy from the 80s. And it was a big one. It was a big
say
one.
Anything.
Nope.
All right. One more hint.
I want me to give you an easy hint, like a really easy hint. It's from I'll put this one. It was at least nominated for Best Picture. And somebody won for Best Picture in it.
Moonstruck.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, you got it. Nice job.
I'm good at this game.
Yeah, that's good. That was good. That was good. Moonstruck.
That was authentic, people. Dimwits, there was no cheating on that.
No, not any cheating whatsoever. I'll tell you right now, Moonstruck, Cher. I think she won for it.
She did. And I actually was going to say Moonstruck before you said that, but.
Okay. Cher, fantastic. She's fantastic, right?
One of my mom's favorites. I remember we had the VHS tape for it, and I just remember seeing it in our TV cabinet.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that it's, you know, I knew the cover for 40 years, whatever.
Yep, I can picture it right now.
Whatever, 30 something years. I'll tell you right now, the movie itself, it sucks.
I probably haven't seen it since the 80s.
I couldn't get into it. We didn't finish it. We also were like,
she's a good actress, dude.
She's awesome. She it made me actually think of her as like a better, because she was in Mask.
She's good in Mask.
She's good in Mask, but she's way better in this. Like, it's like really, really good acting.
She won the Oscar. Yeah.
But Honestly, man, I'm watching it going, this is so 80s. This is so 80s. And I'm also watching it thinking this. I think there was a phenomenon back in the day in the 80s and 90s where if you had anything New York, almost like a Woody Allen thing. So Norman Jewison did the movie, right? Norman Jewison was almost like a poor man's Woody Allen in a way. Like, uh-huh. I think if back then, if your movie was a vibe, like, and you were authentic New York City and you had that, like, even Italians or the Jewish vibe to it or whatever it was, I think you get away with being called like brilliant when it's not really that brilliant, because it's not really that brilliant.
I was going to say, how do you end up with that last name?
Jewison?
It's like one of those ones where you hear somebody came over on Ellis Island and they're like, you know, they're Russian, but they couldn't pronounce or speak any English. So one of the cops is just like, yeah, Jewy Jewison over here. That's your name now. And then you just have the Jewison family for centuries into New York.
It's like if you're Irish, it was like Mickey Mickerson.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Potato Mickerson.
It also sounds like kind of a way to describe things. You're like, it's kind of, it's a Woody Allen, you know, Jewison kind of way.
It's almost like so on the nose, it might not be a Jewish name. Do you know what I mean? Where it's so like,
oh, it's actually Norwegian.
You're saying the guy's name. You're like, Norman Jewison? Should I be saying that? Like, you're almost am I allowed to say that name?
It feels
anti-Semitic. I got to be honest. It feels a little bit borderline, but it's like, no, it's the guy's name. It's like, is it though?
But let me ask you this. Is it more, dare I say, chick flicky? Moonstruck? Because I honestly don't really even remember.
Yeah, I think it. But here's the thing. When it's nominated for an Oscar, right? I think we can all say you come out of the realm of action guy flick and chick flick. You're supposed to be beyond that world,
right?
If you're good enough to be nominated for an Oscar for acting or script writing, because the movie itself, it might have even won best. Did it win Best Picture or did not?
I don't
remember.
So. I want to say that would be 87, so that would probably be the 88.
Yeah, I think it might have won. I have this thing in the back of my head like it won. I'm sure one of TYM Nation will tell us.
What was the fucking?
But the thing about it is this. So if you're that's why the new Borat and them nominating certain things like that, I'm like, screw you guys. You're messing with like the reputation of the Oscars. You're messing with like the untouchability of getting to that level, right? In my mind, like, and maybe it's antiquated and maybe it's done. There's a lot of issues, and there is a lot of issues. Like you get the race stuff in there, and I get it. Like, I think there's probably a lot of old people that are in the Academy, and they just,
yeah,
and probably a lot of old racist Americans and Europeans that are in the Academy, you know, like that kind of thing. So
yeah, Mikey, can you look up 87 or I guess it would be 88?
I don't know if he's there. I don't know if he's there.
Oh. Well,
he might not be there. Anyway,
broadcast news.
If you're there, if you can look up 88 Oscar winner, Best Picture.
I don't think it won though, just on a hunch.
It might not have, but I'm almost. It must have been nominated because back then they would do like the hand in hand actress and picture nominations. But my point being, I don't know what you think about it. Don't you agree that if you're a chick flick, you should. If it's just what somebody would describe as a chick flick, you shouldn't be allowed to be in the Oscars because it's so niche. It's so subjective, but it's supposed to like be a all encompassing piece of artwork that can really be enjoyed and high quality. Like chick flicks, I think it's high quality. Cause even things like Love Actually, right? And Love Actually is pretty much a chick flick, but it's actually better than that. I don't think it was nominated for best, you know, wouldn't be nominated for an Oscar. Here we go.
Last Emperor.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Moonstruck was nominated. There we go.
Kind of a shit year.
Hope and Glory. That was also, I think, a sitcom in Hope and Glory or Hope and something. Hope
Borman.
And Faith.
The movie was a Borman.
I'm surprised.
Douglas won for Wall Street. I did not know that, I don't think.
Best Actor. And also, how is Michael Douglas not
win anything?
Michael Douglas, why would he not be supporting actor in Wall Street?
Yeah, really. For real.
Charlie Sheen is the main actor.
Absolutely the lead.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the rules.
Everybody was too coked out in 88. Nobody knew what the hell was going on.
So, yeah, they're just like, whatever. So my point being is that it should be to a certain level of quality. So when you start like nominating that Borat movie.
Yeah, that's why I hate the fucking expansion of the nominees to 10.
They were like, so worried about ratings.
Lessening the importance. You're letting in movies that shouldn't be nominated for Best Picture. And listen, I think it's a great honor. I still love the Oscars, but now you give somebody the title of going, I was a Best Picture nominee, when they shouldn't be. And I know that might sound harsh, but you're diluting the water of
great
what
word.
Makes it
yes.
great worthy. Only the greatest of the great should be nominated for these. There should only be five. It should be the best five.
Yes.
When you make it 10, again, you dilute it. And so you got things like fucking Borat being nominated for Best Picture. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And if you are, and you know what, the whole idea of it being diverse, like, yeah, if you're ignoring filmmakers of color and you see a track record, yeah, that's an issue. That is an issue. It's absolutely an issue. But don't open up, don't make the thing wider. Just nominate the best.
I even have an issue with that. I still think it should be merit based on, I mean, yes, people of all colors should be given more opportunities and the best cream should rise to the top. I don't think you should.
But I think what can happen is if okay. So what ends up happening
that also tells, well, you have a special thing for the cute little projects you make. You know what I mean? Like, I don't agree with that necessarily either. I think yes, people should be given the opportunities, but I don't think there should necessarily be an automatic.
Not automatic, but in a way where it's like you can't deny, especially when those movies are being made at the same quality. You can't deny them because it's part of the culture of right now. So if you're trying to reflect what's going on right now, and they've done that. I think they've done that.
I just hate when every year you know because maybe it was a year that movies made by people of color weren't necessarily the best of the best that year. And automatically you have people go, oh, another year the blacks are left out, or, you know, whatever minorities were left out of the conversation. You go, well, if it wasn't the best, it wasn't. I'm coming off real bad on this. You understand the larger point. It's like it should be merit based and nothing else. I mean, come on. It's like, stop. Let's be all adults here.
It should definitely be merit based. But I think the point I'm trying to make is that like things like the year Moonlight was nominated, like that should have been nominated. Like it was that level of a movie.
It was a good movie. I mean, but
yeah, but how many I think it's also a thing where this man, it's like, I agree with you that the best five movies are the ones that should be nominated, but also it's been proven the issue I have more is Hollywood pretending that it was really liberal for the past X amount of years, because wasn't, because everybody knows that behind the scenes, in television and film, there is a whiteout going on of nepotism, where it's like, there was a really hard problem with hiring diverse people of color for those behind the scenes union jobs, because you guys who look like us were locking them in as far as gaffers and all that went. But then what happens is a lot of the people who are doing that are rising the ranks. If you're a camera operator, but you're also a cinematographer, and that's so it almost like the seed of it starts with like the nepotism. So it's almost like getting it at its source, and if that's a problem, then you need to afford the opportunity so that.
Oh yeah, I'm not talking about that at all. I'm like basically the awards, but
anyway. No, I know what you mean, but I think it trickles down a little bit. You know what I mean?
Do you follow automotive news, or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-host / two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, that's a good looking car, check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcasts on YouTube.
Do you want to hear something crazy? This is a total left turn we're making, but it just popped into my head because of awards, because I went down a Wikipedia rabbit hole of this song. You know, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. We all know it's Cyndi Lauper. What movie do you immediately think of?
Goonies.
Exactly. So I'm watching Goonies, you know, for the billionth time. I didn't even watch the whole thing. I was just around.
Oh, it's not in it, is it?
No, it is.
Okay, sorry.
It absolutely is. Also, this just made me think of another thing, and I didn't write it down the other day when I should have. Oh, here it is. The other song, There's a song in the Goonies that's also in Karate Kid. It's like the doom 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 doom. It's all, I go, this is a fucking Goonies soundtrack.
Yeah, it's a great song.
But either way, so for whatever reason, I'm a curious fella, Shawnee. I got an inquisitive mind.
Yes.
I go, did girls just want to have fun getting nominated for an Oscar for best female, whatever those Oscar song categories are? It did not. But in my findings, in my research, this is going to blow your mind. Girls just want to have fun. It's not a Cyndi Lauper original. It's a cover.
What?
It's not her song.
Get out of here.
I threw my hands up in the air. I went, what the? I did a backflip out my window.
Get out. Is that true?
It's true. I looked it up. It's written by this guy, Robert Hazard, who originally recorded it in 1979. And then Cyndi Lauper covered it in 83.
Wow.
And the original is kind of like a more heavy punkish kind of version. And hers is killer. It's not even close, but it's one of those ones where you go, I like to reckon myself a pretty knowledgeable music guy, especially when it comes to, wow, this isn't the original. This is actually a cover. Because there's a million of those where you go, yeah, I know this was a cover. And
yeah.
Then you get shocked one day when you really go, this isn't a fucking original.
What's the guy's name?
Robert Hazard.
Right. Yeah. Cyndi Lauper records it and cut to Robert Hazard blowing his brains out. Yeah. Because talk about your song, like a song you identify with somebody more than anything else about them in their career. Like they had, she had True Colors and she had the other song from Goonies.
Publishing rights, and that song was huge. So he's probably sitting pretty.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. That's why you have a Cyndi Lauper 2021 tour right now.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh,
I'm
my
sure God. He's doing fine financially.
Oh, man. So after all that, like one of the first girl power songs and all the money's going to a dude totally. Named Robert Hazard.
Oh, what a Bob bummer. Hazard over here is cashing in on Cyndi Lauper.
Bobby Hazard cashing in on this song. Oh, man. That's crazy. In 79? And then did it like not even, did you look into it? Where it's like,
Girls Just Want to Have Fun is a song written and first recorded in 1979 by American musician Robert Hazard. It is better known as a single by American singer Cyndi Lauper's version was released in 1980.
I always was shocked also that Meet the Parents was like, there's an original Meet the Parents that has nothing to do with like Ben Stiller and them. Like they just redid this movie. And I think this guy got credited for something. The guy, he was like some, it was like an indie, but it was even like a good indie. It was like, I made this, it was like almost like a B, like straight to video, like Meet the Parents movie. And this, and then I guess somebody saw a potential in it. So they bought the story. I think it's pretty much the same story. And I think this guy got credited and he probably made something off it, but it's not like an original idea, Meet the Parents.
Yeah. It's crazy how that happens in movies when you go, I didn't know this was a remake. You know, like that happens all more, probably all some more so in movies than anything else.
Absolutely.
I just thought that was nutty. It blew my mind.
What is the other song from Goonies? The one that's popping in my head as I'm thinking of Goonies. The other Cyndi Lauper song.
Goonies.
Chewed up. Goonies never said that. True enough. True enough.
Yeah.
True enough for me. Yeah, that's the one I also associate with Goonies. And that's probably all her. She probably made True Colors also did well back in the day. So she probably made a little chunk of change.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But Robert Hazard, man, oh, man.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
He's rolling, swimming in big bucks like Scrooge McDuck, Robert Hazard.
Yeah, that's Goonies are good enough.
Also, it's like, I wonder what his sounds like. We probably can't play it on the podcast, but I'm going to try to find a recording of it and play it on the, I'll play the YouTube on the Twitter. Absolutely. TYM Nation, if anybody wants to send us that clip, I'd love to hear. Because you know, I just picture it being like a 79 version of a crooner. Where he's like, girls, they want to have fun.
I think it's like a
girls, version. They want to have fun. What?
Yeah. I think it's like a punkier version, kind of.
Oh, really?
A little heavier.
Oh, almost like a Talking Heads vibe? That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, like a little more power chords in there. But just a wag. Now I'm questioning if Girls Just Want to Have Fun is in Goonies. And I'm like,
I don't think it is. I think it you meant the other one.
Yeah, it's not. Goonies are good enough.
Because good enough. Good enough. That's it. Good enough.
Good These enough. Are good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'll tell you right now, I like good enough better than I like girls want to have just want to have fun.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely. And a
Robert Hazard heartbeat, pal.
Faster than Robert Hazard can skip a heartbeat when he finds
out. Faster than Bob Hazard can catch a check. Can catch a royalties check.
Bob so,
here's another fun thing that has nothing to do with movies, but is what I watched this week.
Yeah.
Someone on Twitter, I just saw it on Twitter last night. I'm not taking credit for it, but I do want to do this with you. Somebody wrote, you're the Seinfeld casting director. Bob Sacamano, ooh, who's getting that role? And it made me think a fun thing to do was let's cast Kramer's friends.
Oh my
that,
God.
Like his made up fake friends. So I got Bob Sacamano, Jay Riemenschneider, my friend Jay Riemenschneider, eats horse all the time. Lomez and Corky Ramirez. Those are the four I came up with that we never see. Now you might have some other ones, but you know, we see FDR. Off the top of my head. We see
FDR, we see Newman.
You know, we see some of his weirdo friends. But those are the
the glasses guy too, played by Tim Stack from Son of the Beach. He's great. He goes, "All right, Dwayne." He's like, "Get out, get out." He's like, "All right, Dwayne."
I saved his life. I got him off sugar.
That guy owes me. He saved his life. I got him off
sugar. I like when George goes back. He's eating a Baby Ruth.
Yeah.
He relapses. My other favorite guy that we never see or is named is when Kramer gives Elaine the pressure point in her neck. He goes, "A great sage wise man once taught me all the body's pressure points." And he grabs Elaine's neck. He goes, "He sells t-shirts down by the World Trade Center." It's like a quick beat. He goes, "Well, he sells t-shirts down by the World Trade Center."
No, but let's just try to. You want to cast Bob Sacamano? Because
Bob Sacamano is a hard one to come up with because he is probably the most referenced Kramer friend.
He is, and he's the one he's the one who told him about the sable hats that turned out to be
Bob Sacamano Senior. I believe he didn't get to mention at one point.
Yeah, I think because of the Willards, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
His dad's down in Florida.
Senior. this is a tough one because you don't. So here's the thing with Jay Riemenschneider, you get a little more context because he goes, "My friend Jay Riemenschneider eats horse all the time. He gets it from the butcher."
So that's got to be a weird guy. You know, you could think like,
I came up with one for him.
Let's hear it.
Steve Buscemi.
That's a good one. I was going to say David Morse. Do you know who David Morse is? He's the guy who plays the bad guy in, he plays the bad guy in 12 Monkeys. He plays the doctor at the end that turns out that he's the one who's, and also in, He's tall and he's kind of he's a great actor and I'll see him in that's David Morris. Morris and then
Green Mile like
he could be great for
punish it.
And there's another guy that's in FX and he's in Last Action Hero. He plays like the Cleaver, whatever his name is. That guy is great. I just can't think of his name. He's a great character actor that I see in the West Village all the time and I'm like, "Hey," and he's like, "Hello," like he's just like whatever. I also thought really quickly like Kevin Pollak or something, but I maybe the age wouldn't have matched up.
Maybe not. Yeah. Kevin Pollak's a little too close to Larry Miller for me too. You know what I mean? And Larry Miller's such a great role as the doorman. I think Lomez, I'm just going to go Luis Guzman because he's so great.
That would work. And, wait, what did Lomez do again? Lomez, what's his references?
They're all referenced in the weirdest ways. So, like,
I think he's on the phone with him at one point. He goes, "No, I told you, Lomez. I didn't."
Corky Ramirez is maybe like a Bobby Cannavale kind of guy.
See, the minute I hear Corky, I think of Chris Kattan because of Corky Romano.
Corky Romano, right.
Corky Ramirez, I think of him as a tinier guy. I could think of him as like a
Oh, that's true.
Like Corky sounds like a tiny guy. Like Mark Anthony or something like, something like that. Like Mark Anthony.
Exercise, you know.
What's the other name you came up with?
Jay Riemenschneider.
Oh, yeah, but we already kind of did that.
And then Bob Sacamano.
Oh, Bob Sacamano. Yeah, it would have to be somebody really good. Who's a good character actor that...
That's the other thing, though. It's like it's fun to do this, but they cast those characters so well.
Yeah.
Through pretty much no-name actors. Like,
yeah, yeah.
John Patrick Stewart, James Patrick Stewart, who plays Brett, Desperado Brett.
Yeah, the guy you met that cast. Time.
Yeah. He's out there riding fences. But the way he comes off as just, I love, when Jerry goes, yeah, they're very nice drawers. He goes, I can get you some if that's what you're driving. It's such a funny, like, Jerry's being totally nonchalant and this guy goes way aggressive.
He goes, I don't, and Mary goes, he goes, you need a proper desk to write your skits. And he goes, I don't write skits. He goes, how could you? You don't have a proper workstation.
he might be the best Elaine boyfriend.
He's fantastic. Even though Putty
is, give you a ride, but I got Brett Farman here. Thanks for stopping, Brett.
He said you ran away from him like he was the boogity man. Boogie.
I'm quite sure.
Comes in, not the Farman. Right. The one thing I wanted to talk about before we stop is we're all finally caught up. And if you can stop podcast here, if you have not seen the rest of Mayor of Easttown yet,
stop right now because I'm going to spoil the shit out of Mayor of Easttown.
But man, oh man, and I've said this last week, and I think it holds up. These limited series are the new movies. It's the new drama, where they can be really showcased and you have more of a story to tell and you don't have to get cram everything in and make, edit it down or do it too long where it's weird for a movie.
Before we get going on the heavier note, because it's a very heavy.
It's a heavy, heavy. Jeez.
So I was telling my mom about Mayor of Easttown, and because her name is Marianne, and my dad, that's her nickname, Mayor.
Yeah.
But I guess the way I'm saying it, or the connection of our phones, I'm telling my mom because I always, I've mentioned this on here before. I grew up in a non-premium channel, non-HBO household, and it was always the bane of my existence as a little kid. Kids would come into fourth grade. They'd go, hey, did you catch Dream On last night? And I'd go, no, I don't have HBO. They go, we saw Tits. And I'd go, so I have Nickelodeon,
Yeah.
Salute Your Shorts.
I saw Channel 7 News. Did you see Channel 7 News?
Yeah. I saw the Action Copter.
I saw the This Is a Test channel. They did that a couple times last night. You checked that out? This is a test. Only a test.
If this were a real emergency.
Yeah. I love the part where they go, right.
I have been heart attacked out of sleep before because I fall asleep with the TV on 2:35 at the a.m.
Oh God, brutal.
So but anyway, I'm telling Mayor of Morristown about Mayor of Easttown.
Yeah.
And I go, Ma, this is fun. It's kind of a funny thing. I go, it's the Mayor of Easttown. It's like your name. She goes, who's the mayor? I go, no, Mayor, Mayor of Easttown. I thought it would be funny. You're Mayor of Morristown. She goes, the mayor of Morristown lives down on our street, which is true. The mayor of our town lives down four houses down from my mom. And I'm going, how the fuck did we get here? It's just one of those classic parent conversations where I'm going, because, cell phone, she's still got a fucking clamshell for she's on 2G
here. Yeah.
So she got a jitterbug. Obviously not great. I'm going, no, Mom, it's your name. It's in this fictional Pennsylvania town, Easttown. She goes, what? I go, mayor. She goes, who's the mayor? I go, mayor of Morristown. That would be you. She goes, oh, my God. It was a fucking, we were running in circles.
You know why? Because it's something that you never hear it in that context where you say mayor by itself. It's usually, hey, mayor, you want to go to the movies? Hey, mayor, it has to something like hello. Hey, mayor, how are you? That has to be in that kind of phrasing.
Exactly. And within a town, you go, mayor of Easttown. You go, who's the mayor of Easttown? It sounds like mayor.
And I'm starting to think that's why it's supposed to be a play on words for this thing, because she's in everybody's business in this town.
Yeah.
And even though it sounds a little corny, that's really what's going on. What were you going to say?
Yeah. No, but it was just this comedy of errors where I was like, no, you're like mayor of Morristown. She goes, the mayor, because he does live. It was just such a funny coincidence where the mayor does live on our street. I was trying to make it like her,
yeah,
like a cute thing. She just did not get it whatsoever.
At the end, you're just like, no, I thought you said you were okay, spider. I thought you. What, you muttering, stuttering prick, yeah?
Which I watched on Friday over the weekend.
Of course. Yeah, it was Memorial Day weekend. You gotta.
I saw. Oh, we didn't even get
Fallen Heroes.
Even get into that. I saw music for the fucking first time. I know we'll come back, but oh my god, it was so great. I was in Connecticut with college friends. We're playing cornhole. The record stands. We're me and Beav still unbeaten. And I get home.
You talk a big game about your cornhole skills.
And I'm willing to take on any and all challengers.
Hey man, you intimidated me. I wouldn't want to play you. Like, I've never heard somebody talk so adamantly about how good they were at corner. I'm really, because that's also like, I feel like it's a spotlight game. Like, everybody loves it so much. It always has spectators. Everybody's always watching cornhole at a barbecue. Yeah.
Well, it's just fun to stand around drinking and watch. You can literally drink and use your other hand and you don't have to
the best. It's like the perfect barbecue game.
But you ever do that thing where I'm staying at a friend's house and I'm in a bedroom now with, you know, no TV. So I'm going, how the fuck am I going to fall asleep? So I just put on my headphones and watch Goodfellas. I just fell asleep to that on my watching on my phone.
Oh, it's great. Fantastic.
So
let's get to
down to serious business here. Again, turn it off or flip 5 minutes ahead because we're going to spoil the shit out of this thing. I just wanted to say this.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the end result coming? Because there's people out there claiming, they go, I knew it, and I'm claiming bullshit on that.
I'm claiming I'm
sure there was some people who could put the pieces together, but
the only reason that I knew it had to be something different than John Ross doing it was because they wrapped it up like they do that with these episodes. They wrapped it up so early another 45 minutes of context of the town, like, you know what I'm saying,
right?
Like, they just start like, you know. So it's just video from a Ring doorbell in Delco County.
This guy stole my package.
Yeah, it's just Amazon getting packages, getting stolen by Shane Gillis.
those accents were really starting to get to me. Thank God it was only 7 episodes. I couldn't hear
home. I was on a podcast with the guy, Tim Butterly. You know Tim Butterly?
Oh shit.
Really funny. We gotta go. Yeah, we gotta wrap it up. But Tim Butterly was doing, he's from that area, from Delco, and doing that accent like so well. Like, they do it. Anybody from there that doesn't talk like that, they can just go right into it with no issues whatsoever.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I wanted to say is I started saying it last week about how these are the new movies, but also people who know me, I think, know I like depressing shit. I like depressing movies. I love depressing music. I gotta be honest. I'm gonna be completely brutally honest right now. I almost cried last night at the end of that show. I almost cried. I'm at Megan's apartment. I was only reason I didn't is because I was there. Probably.
What part made you almost cry?
The part with the wife at the end with her and the wife. The wife, Jill, whatever her name is, that actress is.
Yes.
Awesome.
I think they both win awards.
They should win awards. They should win Oscars for that fucking show, which I think they will. Because she was also in The Outsider, and she's great in that. But it was a regular
for a little while. I think she was on Criminal Intent for a little while.
Yes, she was. That's who that is.
Yep.
Oh my god, because she's older now. And my god, that's her. She's so good.
Yeah.
She's so good. And now this is like, this will make her, she'll be in whatever she wants now at this point. Jillian Nichols. So her performance at this last episode is so fucking good in an already star-studded, really good actor-packed series that, Kate, like I said, Kate Winslet is probably one of my favorite actresses. It's not my favorite. This woman, I have a love for character actors and actresses. I love them. And talk about elevating the fucking craft. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How good, like how.
When she was sitting in her car fucking crying, I go, whoo, she locked it up right there.
And when she comes in and she's yelling at it, she says, my Ryan, you know how fucking believable that was? Dude, such good acting. It's so hard to do that.
He was a fucking great actor.
He was great.
The way he came in, he was like, Mayor knows. I was like, give that kid an award.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you, like, I think that It's already hard enough to be in something like that where you're in it with these heavy hitters. The whole show was so well done. The only corny thing that popped out to me was the daughter's lesbian relationship. The dialogue between her and the girlfriend was really corny, and I don't think that's how anybody talks, really. And then they had the fact that the end, they had the wedding at the end of her dad, and her band played at the wedding. A little too like Activia commercial for me. Like, that was like, for a really depressing, cool, heavy show, it was corny that she had like this, like,
that didn't bother me that much.
But it stood out. It stood out for me in a depressing show because of how much I love depressing shit. But the standout, Kate Winslet is so good.
Yeah, for sure.
The standout is that woman. What's Julianne Nicholson? What's her name?
Julianne Nicholson.
Julianne Nicholson.
And they got Roy from The Office.
And he's also good in it. And they had to old him up a little bit and get him a little bit schlubbier. Absolutely. I know we have to wrap up. Let's wrap up now. But
I got more to talk about. I'll save another thing I watch for next week. This movie, Saint Maud. You're not gonna like it because it was a scary one. But I'll get into it next week. I'll save it. We know also, Mikey's got to get to a gig here. So
This Saturday I'm going to a Quiet Place too. Let's talk about that next week. Guys, at the DYM podcast on social media. That's on Instagram, on Twitter. Check out my Instagram and Twitter at Shawnee Time. Andy, yours is?
Mine is at Andy Fiore, andyfiore.com. A lot of dates coming in, so please check the website. And if you're listening to this, I don't know if tickets are left, but me and Danny Sodes at Pittsburgh Improv this weekend.
Very nice. And guys, thank you so much, Mike. That's Mike V. Suarez on Twitter and Instagram, I believe. Thank you so much for helping us out, Mike, today. And thanks so much, Laugh Button. That's at the Laugh Button. We'll see you guys next week. And we love you so much. Espresso Voice out.